Praise the Lord. It's time to look to the Word tonight. Word in my spirit that I trust will be meaningful to you tonight. Title of the message is Established in Present Truth. 2 Peter 1, verses 12 to 13. The Apostle Peter said, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." He said, though you know and are established in the present truth, there is what the Bible calls present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. What is the present truth? Peter said, you know and are established in the present truth. Well, first and foremost, it would be, in his day, the truth of the new covenant. The old covenant had transitioned, put aside. The new covenant was in place. And he's writing to a people. He said, you know and understand the new covenant. It took quite a while for the Jerusalem church, the Jewish church, to abandon the old covenant. It took many decades, in fact, and some never did. Kind of a mixture of old and new covenant. But he said to these believers, you are established in the present truth. You're established in the New Testament doctrine and scriptures. So that would be the first and foremost interpretation. There's further understanding with the present truth. It can refer to truth that has been neglected or truth that has been lost and now restored to the people of God. And the example we all know concerning that, of course, is the church that came out of the Dark Ages, out of the medieval ages. And Martin Luther and the reformers received a revelation from God. The just shall live by faith. Salvation is by faith alone. And they renounced the worship of the saints and penance and confession to human mediator priests. They went on to walk in that truth, justification by faith. Martin Luther and the Lutherans. That was the present truth at that time. And across the nations, in many places, other reformers rose up and they carried that truth, and the people took hold of it and broke out of that, the darkness of the medieval church. Next came the truth of water baptism. And those who understood the truth of baptism said, it's not only salvation by faith, repentance, repent and be baptized. And so they said, we're going to start water baptism upon the confession of faith and repentance. And they were called the Anabaptists, meaning rebaptizers, because the infants had been sprinkled and christened. And they said, that's the baptism that secures salvation. These men said, no, it's not. Repent and then be baptized. And they were derogatorily referred to as the rebaptizers, but they were really the Baptists. And that's how the Baptists came to be. And then came the next greater move, or great move, the Pentecostals. They said there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, a baptism with fire, tongues of fire, and they were established in that truth. The reason why there are different churches and different denominations is that some groups only go so far in truth, and they stopped, and they camped there. And even though God was restoring more, as we has already just been reiterated here, they would not move on. We must move on in present truth. And then there is present truth in this sense, in a very generic way, but be established in the present truth. Sometimes God begins to work in the life of a believer and say, I want this doctrine, I want this truth and experience established in you. And it may be the truth of praise and worship. Your eyes have been opened. You've never seen the Davidic worship in the Psalms. And all of a sudden, God's giving revelation of the 9 expressions of worship and praise and worship warfare. And you say, I've got to enter in. And God establishes you in that present truth. It may be the truth of the planting of the Lord or the house of God. Or it may be a character trait that God wants to set in you. The Bible says, be established in the present truth. So we understand this. Well, let's go to Genesis 6 and verse 9. This is what it says about Noah. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, justified, righteous before God by faith. And it says, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That means that Noah walked in all the revealed will of God for his life in his time. He was perfect in his generation. There was nothing in his life, his manner, that was lacking from what God had spoken to him. He was a just man, and he was perfect in his generations, nothing neglected. Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me, Abraham, and be blameless. Why would God say that to him? Because Abraham at that point was not blameless. He was not walking in the full will of God, in the revealed will of God. In fact, he and Sarah's wife decided that Hagar should be taken as Abram's wife, and they brought forth an Ishmael, which was an effort of the flesh, a product of the flesh. But God said, that's not where the seed is going to come. That's not the miracle I want to do in you. And God said to Abram, you're walking in your own mind. You're walking in your own plans. You're concocting your own will of God and saying, this is now God. God says, Abraham, you're 99 years of age. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And in that same chapter, God said, Sarah is going to conceive and bear a son, and his name's going to be Isaac, and that's where the promise of God will be fulfilled. And Abraham said, I take that into my spirit. I repent of my own ways and walking in my own mind and wisdom. I will believe God. And he and Sarah brought forth the child Isaac. Abraham had to bring his spirit up and his conduct back up. He'd been discouraged by lack of results. He hadn't seen the fruitfulness that God had promised him years before. And now God said, listen, I need you to be brought up to the will of God. Walk in the revealed will. What about Luke 1, 5 to 6? Zacharias and Elizabeth. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Listen to this. And they were both righteous before God. A husband and wife, a man and a woman, walking in righteousness before God, united in the kingdom. It says, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That is, they were walking in a full revelation. They were up to date in their spirit, their obedience, their conduct with the Lord. There was nothing that they were neglecting. And the Bible commends them, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Well, what are the commandments of the Lord? Well, we heard it this morning. Can bring it down to two: love God and love man. Perfect love for God and proper love for man. They were working it out. Worship, care for people, neighbors, to those in need, desiring to help people, minister to them, lift them up. They were walking in the commandments, blameless, and in the ordinances of the Lord. What are the ordinances of the Lord? Well, first, what are the sacraments? These ceremonies, these sacred ceremonies. Well, the church has two sacraments, communion and water baptism. But what are the ordinances? The ordinances are religious duties, spiritual duties that are an obligation upon our life. Church attendance, prayer, worship, tithes and offerings, personal ministry, evangelism and world missions, these are the ordinances of the Lord. And God desires that we would walk in these in a manner that is glorifying to his name, that we would walk in the will of God, perfect in our generation, nothing left undone in our life, looking to do the will of God in all things. Hebrews 2 and 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. This is a serious matter. The writer to the Hebrews points this out. It was a serious consideration for him. He said, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. Or the King James Version says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I mean, that word drift, you know, drift is, it's not sudden. It's right in the word drift. You drift away. Nothing deliberate necessarily. You don't wake up one morning, I'm not going to serve God anymore. Spiritual drift. He said, lest we drift away. There are those that have drifted from the faith, that once were fervent and no longer acknowledge Jesus and the Bible. They've drifted away and fallen from the faith. Others drift away. They drift away in their church attendance. They drift away in their attendance to the prayer services. They drift in their worship. They drift in their fellowship. They drift in their fruitfulness and faithfulness. The Bible says that we should walk in all the revealed will of God, that we would be established in the present truth and not let ourselves slip or drift away in any form or measure. 2 Peter 3:17-18. Peter again, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Some to that extent, they fall back to the ways and the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Growing in the Lord. You know, it takes sometimes it's a cost to walk in truth. And as God reveals truth to us and we walk in it, there is a challenge that we have to rise up in faith and believe God to walk in those truths and pay a price for it. In our obedience, in our character, in our spiritual growth. This is the establishing in the present truth. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 6:3. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, that is, you should be able to articulate the truths and the doctrines of the Lord, he says you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Oracles are the words of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles, the beginning doctrines and experiences, let us go on to perfection, maturity, walking in the full revealed will of God, not laying again the foundation, and he mentions 7, of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, 2 of them, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. This writer says, be established in the truth. Walk in the revealed will of God. Lay the foundations. Don't drift. Don't slip from those things. Question today, am I walking in the revealed will of God? Are you walking in the revealed will of God? Are you walking in full obedience to what the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures have imparted into you? Or is there today, is there some drift? Start to take breaks. Start to cut corners. Start to take a little ease in Zion. The Holy Spirit would challenge us tonight. Walk in all the commandments and in the ordinances of the Lord blameless. Bring your life up to date. Say, Lord, yes, I can see in my attitude there's been some slip. I can see in my obedience. I can see in my faithfulness. I can see in how I treat others. There's been some drift in me. I'm going to be established in the present truth. I'm going to walk before you blameless. I'm going to walk in the revealed will of God. Well, the writer to the Hebrews mentions 7 foundational elements. And then he said, let us go on to perfection. So he says, these 7, you have to have these in the foundation of your life and make sure they're strong and set. And then you go on in the obedience of the Lord. Well, I want to touch these 7 for about 50 seconds each tonight. These seven truths and experiences that are so vital, and we must hold to them and not drift from these, and then walk on in obedience to the Lord. Number 1, repentance. Living a holy life. No turning back. Moral purity. No compromise. Proper entertainments. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. 2, faith toward God. Maintaining a believing spirit. Winning the battle of the mind and the emotions. Trusting God. Regardless of the circumstance or what you see, you have that spirit of the Apostle Paul, I believe God, Acts 27:25. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. We cannot give up on a believing spirit. We trust God for his working and his power and his miracle and his strength. 3, water baptism. Living in the power of a rejoicing spirit. A victorious spirit. All our enemies have been drowned in the sea in the waters of baptism. Not one power of darkness can follow us on as we make our way into the land flowing with milk and honey. Exodus 15:1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. We live in the power of a rejoicing spirit. Next, baptism in the Spirit. Baptism's plural, baptism in the Spirit. Maintaining an anointing of power with tongues of fire. Supernatural utterance. Acts 2:3-4, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, a life anointed, a life filled with the Spirit, supernatural language flowing out of our spirit. Laying on of hands. Giving attention to our calling, spiritual gifting and ministry. The laying on of hands had to do with the conferring of gifts of the Spirit and ministry and confirmation of that ministry. And so we all have a place. We all have a function in the body, and we must serve faithfully. 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Don't let this drift. Stay fervent. Stay in your place. Be zealous of spiritual gifts. Be zealous to edify the body and build up the church. Resurrection of the dead. Living in joyous anticipation of the coming of Christ. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. A bride without spot or wrinkle. Without spot no deliberate sin, no unconfessed sin in the bride, and no wrinkle, no aging. No aging. Fervent, desirous, loving, on fire for the Lord, pleasing Him. A bride without spot and wrinkle. Acts 1:11. The angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." And so we live in joyous anticipation of the coming of Christ. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. We're prepared. We're expectant. Final one, eternal judgment. Maintaining a strong sense of spiritual accountability. 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We will stand there on our own. And we live with that accountability. I'm going to answer to the Lord. I want to have fruit for the Lord. I want to have lived a life pleasing to the Lord. So he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So these seven things, we're not to let them slip. Not to let them slip. Be steadfast. Be established in the faith. And then walk on in the will of God. Keep those seven. And walk on in what God has spoken to you and revealed to you for your life and your calling, your ministry, your business, your family. Walk on in all the revealed will of God. Worship ministry, come. Let's close out with 2 Peter 1, verses 10 to 12. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Let's walk on in all the revealed will of God. All the truths, the doctrines, the experiences. Let's walk on in the full revelation of the Lord in our life. Guard against any spiritual drift. Say, "I'm going to walk on like Noah. Perfect is in his generation. I'm going to be like Abraham." Yeah, he slipped back a little bit. And the Lord came and spoke to him. And he brought his faith and his manner back up. And he said, "I'm not looking around at how other people are walking and living. I need to answer to the Lord for myself." And so he walked on in the power of the Lord. Zacharias and Elizabeth, a husband and wife, not one dragging the other one back or down. "Well, I don't want to go to church today." No, both of them righteous, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Oh, these beautiful examples for us. And we say amen in our spirit and walk on in the power, the revelation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you as this word has been coming tonight. Just identifying an area of caution for you, some area of drift, some area where you slip back, you're taking breaks, you're not walking in the fullness of the Lord. Tonight the Lord is here to touch your heart, call you back, call you up, lift you. And so let's dedicate and consecrate ourselves to the Lord afresh tonight. Say, "Lord, I want to walk in all the full will of God. I want to walk in the present truth that's been established in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus." The altars are open if anyone would like prayer. You'd like to dedicate yourself to the Lord in a fresh way. Maybe you just want to spend a few minutes at the altar and have people pray for you and lift you up and encourage you. Please feel free to come and seek the Lord. Tonight, let's close out in worship and rejoice in the greatness of our God. Hallelujah.